Lord, I want to thank you for every father that's present here today. I just want to ask, Father, that you'd help them to be good examples of what you, Heavenly Father, are like. I know that we all fall short, but I want to pray that each one would be earnest in following you with all their hearts and being transformed into the image of Jesus so that they can make the way easy for their children to come into relationship with you, Father God. And Father, I want to pray for every father just to have courage to live on mission and to lead their children into mission with you and to be a part of the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to be salt and light in our communities. And Father, I do want to pray just for an increase of your government on the shoulders of each of our dads, that they would lead their family into wholehearted devotion to you and into community life where our lives as a family can become more and more like you, Jesus. I ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so today is the second and last week of our very mini series, We Not Me. So the focus is on life groups. Let's see if this thing works. There we go. Okay, so today is I'm looking predominantly at transformation requires community. It's the way God designed us. Now, the modern thinking, or particularly in the Western world, goes something like this. It says, learn to carry yourself on your own back. People will drop you quicker than they pick you up. Otherwise, I don't depend on anyone to feed me. What I need, I am capable of attaining. Even happiness is something I can get on my own. Now, the biblical way is something very different to that. Okay, I need to be adjusted. Okay, better. Yes. Okay, so the biblical way is different. Francois quoted this scripture last week, but just to have a look at it again. So it's from Acts 2. It says, and this is talking about the believers, those that were following Jesus in the early church. It says that they devoted themselves, and that word devoted means it's not just a casual or random attendance. They devoted themselves. It means that they to adhere closely to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent. And what did they devote themselves to? They devoted themselves, the first little picture is a book. Helps you to remember that was the apostles' teaching. So they came together like you're doing today to hear the preached word. The second little one is the handshake. That's to fellowship. And they used to do that both in a corporate situation like this, but very much in the home. The third one there is a loaf of bread. So they used to share a meal together, but also around the meal, often they would share the breaking of bread and others remembering Jesus' death and his resurrection, which is what we're going to be doing afterwards, because Jesus is the focal point of everything that they were doing. And then fourthly was prayer, the hands together there. And the result of it was just beautiful. There was praise, there was favor in the community, there was growth, there were people that were added daily to their life, to the group. That word fellowship is actually koinonia. It's a beautiful word. It's partnership, it's participation, communication. So growing in real relationship and fellowship with one another. So the aim of life groups is actually life transforming communities. And what I mean by that is that the individuals in the life group are transformed to be more and more like Jesus, but also the presence of the life group in a neighborhood transforms the community. That's the design of God. So you might have been in a life group for many years, or you may know of people that are in life group for many years, and you just think, well, I don't really see change. So let's just have a look at some points that I think need to be present in a home group or in a life group for change to be happening. And I got some of the information just from some life group material that Wally sent us. But the first point is to remove masks. When I was in my teenage years, we were in a church where there was this worship leader. He was always full of smiles. He was full of energy, a lovely man. And it was such a shock to the community when he took his life. And it was, I remember just like, why was this? And, you know, what was he going through that he wasn't able to share with us where we could have come around and helped him? I was thinking of Jesus, and Jesus led a life group. For 3 years, he led a life group, and they really did life together. It wasn't just a random once a week thing. They would walk and talk and teach and serve together. And on one occasion, they were sharing a very special meal together. And that meal, I'll read it just from the message in Matthew 26, verse 20. It says, that after sunset, he and the 12, which was life group, were sitting around the table. During the meal, he said, I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators. And there's great consternation in the life group. And then in verse 25, then Judas, already turned traitor, said, it isn't me, is it, Rabbi? We read just in the verses ahead of that, Judas had gone to the high priest and he'd said, what are you going to give for me if I deliver Jesus over to you? And they'd settled on a price of 30 pieces of silver. And now Judas is saying this. And then Jesus said, puts it like this in the message, says, don't play games with me, Judas. So Judas was trying to deceive Jesus. And it was actually ridiculous because Jesus could look right through him. If we can't really play games with him, we can't put on pretenses and masks. Other people might be fooled by it, but Jesus isn't. And I just was thinking, imagine if Judas had come clean on that occasion. Imagine if he'd said, actually, this is what I am doing. And he actually had a dialogue with Jesus on that occasion. Imagine how things could have turned out differently. I was thinking of Adam and Eve, if you remember right in the beginning when they disobeyed God, that the first thing that they did is that they ran and hid, and they were trying to cover themselves up with fig leaves. And that's exactly what each of us do, that where there's shame, we want to cover up, or maybe where there's insecurities and we want to portray a different picture of who we actually are. But actually that living in the darkness or covering things up is a perfect place for the devil to have a field day with us. It's in darkness that sickness festers. So God's way is that we bring things out into the light and that we are honest with ourselves, with God, and with one another. And then freedom comes. We no longer hold in bondage. We can repent. We allow God's healing to come in. We can be washed clean. We whole. Relationships can be real. Because how can we have relationships with a person that we don't really know or is not really representing who they are? So the first point is really to remove masks. And I want to encourage you, if you've been hurt before, I know it's often a protection mechanism that we want to hold people at bay, but it's not the way of God, and it's not the way where you will be transformed more and more into God's image. Okay, so the second point is look in the mirror and just do it. This is all about application, and there's a catchy little phrase I want you to remember, is application brings transformation. I know transformation comes through community, but remember, application brings transformation. And it was something in Kidsmen that we've always tried to reinforce that a message is not finished unless you've worked it into yourself and you've brought application. So the scripture we're going to look at together there is James 1, verse 21 to 27. And the mirror, the picture of the mirror in the Bible goes with the word, so the word of God. So you're not looking at it as a physical mirror, but the mirror is the word of God. You look at yourself and you see yourself reflected in it. Okay, so in verse 21 it says, get rid of all uncleanness and all that remains of wickedness, and with a humble heart receive the word of God. So you can see there that the word is supposed to bring change. So uncleanness is to go. Wickedness is to go gradually. Which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. There. Verse 22. But prove yourself doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts. So it's not just a once-off thing. And not merely listeners who hear the word, but fail to internalize its meaning. This is in the Amplified Version. It goes together with that thing of application. Same thing. Deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to truth. Where I'm supposed to point that it works. Like me and the remotes and TV, I'm forever pointing at the wrong places. too far. Oops, where am I now? Verse 23, there we go. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looks like. This is a bit like us who attend a church on Sunday like this. We listen to the preaching of the word. We might even take beautiful notes in our journals or on our phones. But then by the time Monday comes, and we think, oh, that was an amazing word. But then by the time Monday comes, we've completely forgotten what that word was all about. We never actually go back to our journals or back to our notes. And it's just Monday, our lives are not even remotely affected or changed in any way from after the preaching of the word on Sunday. That's kind of what that verse is talking about. Verse 25, but he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. Verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, scrupulously observant of the rituals of his faith, and does not control his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religion is worthless, futile, and barren. So our hearts are deceptive. The Bible talks about us being able to see a speck in somebody else's eye and wanting to take it out, but we don't actually see the big plank in our own eyes. And we were reading a book. We went away as a family, and on the evening we read a chapter of this book, and it was just speaking about how often we form a picture of what we think God is like, and it's a comfortable God. It's a God that doesn't, he doesn't shock us, or he doesn't, offend us. It's a comfortable God, but actually it's a God of our own figments, of a God of our own imaginations, and that's something of what we're talking about. And I think Life Group is a beautiful place where we can actually come and take something that's happened on the Sunday, or maybe a scripture that you've read in the week and you're not understanding it, you come together and you fuss over it. I grew up in the Baptist church, and I remember a man coming and doing a series in the evenings, must have been about 10, 11, and he spoke about meditating, and he had an accent, he was mutter and mumble, so it was mutter and mumble about the word of God. So you take the word and it's like a bone, and the dog, it chews the bone, it chews it and chews it, and you fuss over what is the actual meaning of this word. And it's not just your own opinions, but you're talking about it in a group, you're taking maybe some commentaries or something like that, but you're really fussing over what this actually means, and then how does it apply to our lives. It's something very, very beautiful that we can do. It's like really eating the word. No, the word that speaks about Jesus is the word. He's like the bread of life. We can come around and eat God's word together, because it's that which sustains us and carries us through hard times, and really puts strength into us if we're doing that together. Verse 27, pure and unblemished religion, as it is expressed in outward acts in the sight of our God and Father, is this: to visit and look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular world. We really fool ourselves if we think that we are believers if there's no sign of Jesus in our lives. And actually, we are not meant to be holy huddles in our life group. We can become comfortable, we can have wonderful relationships and be very internal looking. But also we are, that last scripture spoke about real religion as that which reaches out. And so as a community, it's wonderful actually if you have your life group in your geographic area, because you as a group of people together can actually look at your community, at your geographical area, and think, how can we impact? What can we do? How can we show the love and kindness of God in the community in which we live? Okay, so that's application. So the first thing was to take masks off. The second was talking about looking in the mirror and just doing it, applying God's word. And then thirdly, what should happen in life groups is accountability. Right, so this poor little girl is on a very big scale there. I remember there was this way less group. I never was part of it, but there was a way less group. But I remember the secret of success, if I heard people talking, seemed to be the fact that you had weekly weigh-ins. And then the weigh-ins weren't like a private affair. It was like, you know, your group was there and you'd have a weigh-in and you had your target weight. And the whole thing was that that weigh-in would be a deterrent or an incentive for you not to eat that piece of chocolate cake on the weekend because you knew that you were being weighed in on Monday or Tuesday. So now life group, I'm not suggesting that life group should be a weigh-in session. or that you have this feeling like this big brother watching you. But I do believe that life groups have this role to play because that's how growth happens. Francis spoke about a drift, that we just left our own devices. We tend to just drift into complacency and into just laziness. And so as a group, the whole thing of accountability is actually really important. And I think a few weeks ago, Wally demonstrated this quite well. He'd spoken on the SALT series. He'd done about three or so sermons already. And then he said to us, how many of you have started your SALT alphabet? And we actually had to put our hands up. And then he said, what are some of the words that you've added to your SALT alphabet? For those that weren't here, SALT alphabet was just words, just characters of God that you would put in a alphabetically, but put in a book that and add a scripture there that so that we are full of God, so that when we are out doing what we do on a daily basis, the life of God and the qualities of God would flow out of us. That's what that was all about. So he asked us that. So he didn't just leave it as, have you done it? He said, okay, what have you added to it? He pushed it. And then afterwards he said, about your salt roots? How many of you have been engaging people along your salt roots? And that's really what, and then he spoke about sitting around the table and talking about what conversations have you had together with other people where you've engaged them or been able to show kindness or engage them about Jesus or their walk with God, you know? So that's what we do in life group. There's that thing of accountability that happens. I was thinking also if there's maybe areas that you have a difficulty in, say, for instance, Francois was talking this week about seeing a guy that, there was a young guy that came into a garage and to fill up petrol, and then the next thing, this other guy, older guy, came screaming in next to him, and he started laying into this guy because apparently the younger guy had unknowingly pulled in front of him or cut him off. And so this guy had chased after him and was there at this filling station just laying into him, so very embarrassing for everybody else. And maybe you've got a problem with road rage. And, you know, in a life group, you can say, look, I've really got this problem. I don't know what happens. I just get taken over by this. And then as a life group, you can talk about it. You can speak about how can you overcome this. That you could play worship music in the car or just talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the proper application of the Bible. Because, you know, Jesus sometimes said, do you roll down the window and say, you brood of vipers, or, you know, you whitewashed tomb, which is something that Jesus did do, but it wouldn't be applicable in that situation to do that. You'd rather turn the other cheek in that instance. So it's just a place in life group where we're talking about that. What's the proper application? Because sometimes we can skew the Bible and what the word says out of context and just come to funny conclusions and justify ourselves. So that's an important thing that happens in a life group. Okay, then fourthly, it's really a place where we help each other learn how to listen to God. And old Bugs Bunny there says, of course I talk to myself because sometimes I need expert advice. And, you know, there are many big decisions that we're making, relational issues, relocation, purchases of something, a car or something like that. And we so often in our Western mindsets, individual, self-sufficient, we just do it on our own. And sometimes we have a track record of really making poor decisions, but we just keep on doing that, which is something so foolish. Proverbs talks about walking with the wise. Those who walk with the wise grow wise, and how it's foolish not to receive counsel. So within a life group setting, it's a wonderful thing to ask, is there anybody that's facing big decisions or trying to hear from God and about a certain thing? You can pray together with that person. You can learn from somebody that's already gone that route and maybe learn from their failures, learn from their successes. But it's a beautiful place where we can where we receive wisdom But the thing of listening to God's voice is one of the things we did early in our life group. We don't have a life group at the present, but we don't lead one. But there's something we did. We say, for instance, Dave and Wens, we could maybe one week have that everybody in the life group would focus that week on David and Wendy. We would pray for them and ask God for a word for them. And then on that Tuesday, whatever the day was, when we'd come together, we would say, everybody would share that word. And sometimes when you're preparing, you get this word, or you get a scripture, or you get a picture, and you wonder, oh, I'm not sure if this really is, if I'm hearing right. And then as you come together in the group and you share it, and you watch how beautifully the whole thing dovetails together, and how there's the yes, you know, Dave and Wen says, oh, that really is, that speaks to me. Then you realize, sure, I can hear God. And it's a faith building thing, and you grow in your confidence of being able to hear God in that way. So those are beautiful things where we together can spur one another on and learn from one another. And then lastly, all of the above that we've spoken about has to happen in an environment of love and trust, that we speak the truth, but we do it in love. And Francis spoke about last time, just mentioned there's so many. If you just put in one another in your concordance, in your search thing, it comes up with so many things. So it's like Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. That same word devoted that we heard earlier on in Acts. Honor one another above yourselves. Ephesians 4 verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Romans 15, 17, accept one another. Leviticus 19, 11, do not deceive one another in the way that Judas was doing to Jesus. John 13, 14, wash one another's feet. That's serving one another in the life group. Doesn't have to be the physical thing, but the attitude of really serving one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That spurring is sometimes an uncomfortable process. It's much more comfortable just to be left just plodding along in your own way. If somebody spurs you on, it's like, you know, move up, get acceleration, change direction. It's not comfortable always. Those are the things that happen, but in a loving environment. Bear with one another, submit to one another, offer hospitality to one another. So many beautiful things. I love this little picture here, and I just want to read Ephesians 5. It's in the message. It says, watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. So as a life group together, Jesus is the center, and we look together, we learn from him, we look at the word, we learn from him. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, so that's love with a hook, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. And in a life group context, that even Paul actually speaks here, he says 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I found that it's actually very daunting scripture. But actually in reality, people are watching us. People are, whether you're the life group leader or you're just in the life group or you're just here at church, people or out in the world, people are watching you. And so we follow Christ and others follow our example as we follow Christ. In just this last picture, it's me a beautiful picture of life group. It's a picture of nurturing. It's hands, a number of different hands, smaller hands, bigger hands, different color hands, working hands, just together holding a sapling. And I just was thinking how beautiful it is that within the life of a church here, within the life of a life group, that little saplings can become oaks of righteousness for his glory. And that's really our prayer. So just to end off with application, I said application brings transformation, so I'm finished with what I wanted to say, but I wanted to just help you with application here. So if you do not belong to a life group yet, then the application would be that you can join a life group. And today we're going to be having a whole lot of life group leaders coming up, those that weren't introducing themselves last week, who will introduce themselves to you. And then afterwards, we're going to be breaking bread together in geographical areas. So the upper highway is to my far left there, your right. That's Lydia's prepared the table there for you. So that would be Hillcrest, Gillets, and Kloof area. You'll meet together at that table. So if you live in that area, you'll go there. And the life group leaders in that area will serve you. You can get to know them if you don't know who they are. And then a table here has been prepared by the Ackermans. And this is Central Pinetown, Ashley, Manners area. So you'd be over here. And then on this side to my right is the rest of the Pinetown area, also North Dean and Queensborough. And then to my far right, your far left, is Lower Highway. So that was Tam that prepared Goldblatt. And then that table there is Jody and Mandy and Mono. But you can meet there, so Westville and Cowies Hill. And if you're in none of those areas, you can just take your pick, okay? But it's an opportunity where you can share and talk and maybe exchange phone numbers or just be able to make a plan to get together. Then if you are already in a life group and you look really honestly look at your life and you see there's no evidence of change or very little evidence of change, then you can ask yourself the question, why not? Have I just been a life group attender, or have I really given myself to the process of community and transformation? Have I been wearing a mask? Have I been holding people and God at a distance? Do I allow the Word of God to really speak into my life, or do I just sort of glibly read over it, close it, and move on? If you've been hurt by somebody, if you're holding on to offense, which is hampering this whole transformation process, both in yourself and in the community, then you need to, it's actually so simple. You go to God and say, God, will you've forgiven me. Lord, I just pray that you'd wash me and that you can just walk in freedom and that there can just be life that flows. Also, if you as a life group have become a comfortable, clicky group, you become a little bit ho-hum, maybe to ask, what are the God initiatives that you as a life group could do to impact your community? Maybe you as a life group leader feel that there's some aspects of what I've touched on that you haven't really worked into the life of your group. Then ask God, how do I actually do this? But be blessed. We want to pray that the life groups in our church would flourish and grow and that we would become more and more like Jesus. Okay, so if we could just invite those life group leaders up that who didn't introduce themselves last week, if you could come up.
Unless you didn't all get the memo, we'd love for you to just introduce yourselves, say your area, where you're from, you know, where you're meeting, the time that you meet, the day, because people we meet in different times, different days. Some of you have got unusual groups that meet in a different thing. So just to explain that, otherwise just to say what you really love about your life group. And there's a big group, so I asked, keep it nice and neat.
Morning, everybody. My name is Jeremy, and my wife is Lydia. She's not here this morning, and we have three small kids. We meet in Hillcrest on a Tuesday at 7 o'clock, normally. And the one thing I love about Life Group is the fact that every week we get to be together and, like Ingrid said, to encourage each other and spur each other on. I don't know about you, but it's tough out there, and I love the fact that every Tuesday I've got friends and people around me who can encourage me and spur me on. So if you live anywhere in South Africa, Hillcrest, 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. Ciao.
Hi there, Martin and my wife Astrid. We've led home groups for about 25 years. We're going to change gears quite a lot. We're not going to meet on a Tuesday or Wednesday. We're going to meet every first and third Saturday evening. Throw it open completely, so it's a social. We know many, many people that are on the fringes. Somewhat lost, somewhat lonely, just socially lonely. We're going to create a forum for that, just a bra, maybe pudding, whatever. So it's going to be an unusual group. But we're going to draw in our own friends and draw in all the people who, I mean, I can think of five or six immediately here who are isolated. want the affinity to grow, the friendship to grow. That's what we're after. Is a friendship, fun, laughter, and we'll see where that goes. The best thing I like about my home group is my wife.
Hi, everybody. It's John and Bob's Rob. We meet on a Wednesday evening at 7:15 in Kloof. We've been meeting for many years. What we love about Life Group is always seeing from the beginning of the year to the end of the year how people grow. And part of our intention is to get people to be living, or us as well, to be living more victoriously in God and having deeper levels of faith in God. And that's what we love about meeting together as a group and fleshing out our Christianity together.
Thanks, John. My name is Mervyn and this is Ruth. We meet at Peace Crescent, Pinetown, the Blood Bank area in Sarnia. And we love Life Group. We love the presence of God. We love the Word. We love listening to people. And listening to people, we see people grow in Christ. And we've been leading Life Group for the past 14 years, I think. 14, 15 years. But God's been good, and we really see people grow. So you're welcome to the Blood Bank area, Peace Crescent. Oh, 7 o'clock on Tuesdays.
Hi, everyone. Theo and Jill, we lead a home group in Kloof. And firstly, we love to say that it's a privilege for us to lead a home group. And it also makes us tidy the house up a little bit quicker. it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We love getting into the Word, and we love supporting our group. Everyone's got prayer needs. We love praying through their needs. We love supporting the church in their endeavors. We've got a couple of quite good bakers in our group, and sometimes we get a stunning carrot cake come through. Not often enough, but yeah, thanks very much. And we meet on a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock.
Hello, I'm Kelsey, and I have a life group for teenage girls. So as you can imagine, there's never a dull moment. There are always stories and jeepers. I don't even remember being that young. I'm kidding. But we meet on a Friday night, so before youth, well, Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock here at church. So it just makes it easier for the parents to run straight into youth, so it's just a one-lift thing. And I think my dream for my group is just to see the girls become strong, beautiful warriors of Jesus. Like, I'd love to see them be strong. There's this idea that they have to be, like, I don't like the idea of being timid or, like, waiting for someone else, but actually that 1 Timothy scripture of do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example in faith and life and love and speech and impurity. And yeah, that's what I want for my girls.
Morning, everybody. Brian and Janet Jarvis. We are a group of millennials busy redefining themselves. Jan here has just moved into young adulthood. And George over there is our oldest member, and he's just turned 30-something. And we're in Kloof, which is also full of people who are busy redefining themselves. And we meet on a Tuesday evening at 6:30. Or is it 7?
Quarter to 7.
There you go. Thanks very much.
Good morning, Red Points. I'm Chris. This is my beautiful wife, Abby. And we meet on a Tuesday night at 6:30, and we have a meal together, which I love about our life group. It's really a cool thing to do. In Kloof, or Kloof for the Afrikaners, you know. And I love that we're a young, vibrant, sometimes edgy group, but a cool space, you know, like I think a potential for world changes to actually rise out of, you know. And it's, I love how we're growing together in Christ week by week. It's not just we stagnant. We're moving forward into the fullness of what God has for us. And I love that about our group, and I think all groups.
Good. Hello, everyone. My name is Seth, and this is Monique. We meet on Tuesday night, 7:30 in Westville, 56 Dawncliffe Road. We have a bunch of guys in their 20s, 30s, young, vibrant people that meet with us. But we're open to anyone. So if you're 80, come along.
And yeah, I think the thing that we love about Life Group is the stage of life that the guys are in. They're making a lot of decisions, you know, about where they're going with their lives. And to see guys submit their decisions to God and come out with godly decisions that they've made is a huge thing for us. So, yeah.
We're Rory and Audrey. We meet in Cowies Hill every Tuesday from 7, although 7 isn't normally the start time, so the guys are all in from 7, but it's our group is really cool. I love the mix of the kids and watching them grow and develop and basically learn from their parents, and also just being in the Word and being in community is an amazing privilege to serve God in that manner.
Aubrey and my wife, Linda, and we also meet on Tuesdays, 7 o'clock, and we've been doing life for a very long time, and I guess after a while it does show. We've been doing life group as well, home groups, cell groups, we've been through all those names, and it's just been great over all these years. So, what can I say? Why do we enjoy it? Why do we stick with it? Why do we persevere in it? It's like asking me, why do you run, Aubrey? It's because I enjoy it. And it's like asking Linda, why do you bake? And don't stop. We enjoy your baking and your cooking, all the lack of goodies. But, you know, it's because God's put something in my heart. And it hasn't changed over the years, and I don't see why it's going to change. Our motto is, until the season's done, we will soldier on, you know. And while I have breath, that's my motto, while I have breath, I will praise the Lord. So come and join our life group. We're in Ashley, 6 Foot Trekker Street.
Thanks, Orbs. I'm Brett. My wife, Shan, can't be here this morning, but we meet in Cowies Hill. People keep arriving at about 7:30 on a Tuesday night. We keep letting them in. What do we love about Life Group? I love the fun. I love the laugh. And like many others here, I love the cake. But jokes aside, it's just a privilege to love Jesus and to love people and to connect the two. So we've got a predominantly young adult Life Group in Cowies Hill. So if you're there, come along.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave and Jodes. We meet on a Tuesday night at 7:30 in Westville as well, also predominantly young adults. I think what we love about our life group is the ownership that everybody takes in it. We have a nice structure where everybody has got a part to play, almost like a meal. We start off with a starter, a main, a dessert, which being an icebreaker, a talking point. We have a prayer at the end, and obviously the main meal that comes with it, be some eats and that. So we have a great time. Lots of fun, and we start at 7:30 and we end whenever.
Morning all, my name's Wayne, my wife Alan. So we meet in Kloof on a Wednesday evening at 7. I think our focus is really about hospitality and just through that hospitality, I'm blessed to have a wife who can cook, and I'm very talented at making tea or coffee, either or. But generally we like to just sit around a table and get to know one another, and through that we can do life group well together. Also, let me mention free parking as well. So,
anyway, my name is Mort. I live in Pinetown. I have a home group on a Sunday at 12 o'clock. The reason why it's on a Sunday is because I try to cater for the people that are in the townships who cannot come to any of the evening soul groups or life groups. So when they come, we are all here, we meet here, and then after that, we go to my place in Pinetown. And it comprises of teenagers, girls, also from the townships, and some young mothers. So please, if you are in any area, any township, or even in the suburb, where you cannot come to a life group, or you cannot even come to the youth group, come to my home group. It's free. You just come. You don't bring anything, because as I'm saying, most of them are still teenage girls, and they don't have money, they don't have any food to bring. So you just come as you are and you'll be served. And what I like with them now is they've made my home their home. So when you come in, everybody knows what to do because you need to rush for the time that you make tea, we make anything. They know where everything is. So please come.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anna. I'm from Ichelimnyama. We meet on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Mkungo family. I would love to urge the people who are living at Ichelimnyama to come and attend the cell group. My advice is for them especially is that my life was changed by the scriptures that I heard from the cell group, from different people who come to the cell group that I was attending. So it's few of the scriptures that I attended on Saturday, on Sundays, that changed my life. But more of the scriptures that change are life-changing are those conversations that we had together on the cell group. So I would love to urge the people at Ichelimnyama to come and attend the cell group at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Francois, this is for you. Mandy and myself, Barry, we do life group African time at 7 Winston Road, Westville. And truly what we love, and I say we, I'm including my group of brothers and sisters in the group. If I can speak on behalf of the group, we love kingdom time, family time together. So it's full of nonsense, it's full of laughs, and there's the odd tear every now and again. But, as Mandy reminds me, most times it could be my tears going, but I am a tender guy. You may think at the coffee bar I'm cheeky, but I'm a softy. And I like to think my home group would attest to that. But yeah, Francois, 20 seconds is impossible. It's just impossible. So I'll hand over to my brothers and sisters on this side of me. But God bless. And please, it's Tuesdays. I'm just reminded. You see, I'm a teenager. I'm forgetting. On Tuesday, can I just quickly introduce Mandy, soon to be my future wife.
Hi, I'm Jenny. This is my better half. Meet on a Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We have open door policy and anybody's welcome. Queen's better.
Hey guys, I go to Seth and Monique's life group, so you must come, guys. It's amazing. But I have a life group on a Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. In Pinetown. Actually neighbors with Martin, which is amazing. So if you can find Martin's, as you can find mine's. My highlight for life group on a Wednesday night is actually, I think, Tevin and I getting to a car, driving into different parts of Pinetown, fetching the guys and bringing them back. And having a life group, we've got chips, guys, and sweets. We believe in the ministry of sweets and chips administers. But also, baking is welcome if you guys have baking. So bring that. I do bake, but I don't have time to do that. But please come if you can. I'm teasing. But that's my highlights for them on 6:30. And then we pack up and then we go back. Conversations happen in the car. Lots of things happen in the car, which is exciting. But really excited. So it's only open to the youth, guys. If you're above 20, you can't come. But but yeah, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much. It's wonderful. So really encourage you to join. So you guys just go to the tables already now, and the rest of us are going to be joining you. So Davis is going to introduce communion for us, and then we'll invite you to participate. So yes, the band, if you can come up, thank you.
Thank you, all the life group leaders. That was great. We go to a life group, the best life group, Kenny and Chico. So we're going to gather around the communion table this morning, and I'm going to just share from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm starting at verse 23. Paul speaking, he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Let's just bow our heads and then we're going to just come forward and take communion. Lord, we just thank you that you gave your body for us, that it was broken for us and your blood was shed for us. And as we remember that now, Lord, we'd be mindful of the incredible sacrifice that you made. And Lord, at this time, we just choose to align our lives with you. We choose, Lord, to focus on you and what you did. And we do not take it lightly, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's come and have communion.